Ron Heron for AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay, your hosts, every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets and in Montecito's Upper Village. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Happy New Year, Neil.
Happy New Year to you. I was afraid I'd forget how to do this because it's been 2 weeks that
we've done. Exactly, I know, with the holidays and all.
Yeah. Since I don't drink, I cannot say that I'm really finally getting over the New Year's.
Well, it would be 6 days, so that's good even if you did drink.
Right. That's
that's an awfully long time.
That's a very good point. Right, right.
So how was your New Year's?
I don't remember. Actually, I do remember because, as you know, I had a very big event at my house.
You did.
I had my 50th wedding anniversary party.
I know. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was quite an event. And I remembered everyone's name, and I remembered to be nice to everybody. And
your wife remembered to get her own gift.
It was
a win-win
right,
for everyone.
Exactly, exactly. So do we have a guest today?
We do. We are thrilled to have in studio with us Rick Copeland, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of the Tri-Counties. Rick, thanks so much for being here with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we talk about articles at the beginning of each show, and sometimes it's important to step back and look at how to read an article. I mean, it's really incredible, particularly in the financial area. And what I brought in today is two articles that appeared in this Saturday's, one in the Wall Street Journal and one in the New York Times. So let me read you the title of the Wall Street Journal. This is the top column, right-hand corner. U.S. car sales hits brakes in 2019. The multi-year boom in U.S. auto sales showed signs of easing in 2019, with major car companies reporting softer results, predicting a slowdown would continue in 2020. Okay, that's Article 1. Now, the same exact day, the New York Times reported that sales buoyed as buyers go for bigger rides. The industry has been on a ride for the last decade, and its results show few signs of coming to a halt, at least for now. So two articles with a different headline and a different first sentence, both in different directions. When you read both articles in full, the quotes are almost actually the same. They quote the same people because this is a result of some press releases from companies and from an industry reporting. The statistics are the same. It's just how the reporters and the editors decided to couch it. So if you're an investor and isn't spending much time, if you only read one of these newspapers and you were thinking about buying an automobile stock, you would have a completely different view depending upon which newspaper you chose.
Well, and I think that could be the same for all statistics in the financial sector, because really you can use those statistics to tell whatever story you're looking to tell, whether it be good or bad. And so that's really when you're looking at investments, you want to make sure you're doing your research and reading as much as you can about specific industries and or companies.
It's funny, years, actually, I don't have to hide it since I just said I've been married 50 years, although I did get married at 6 years old to my cousin in Georgia. When I was doing my MBA, I asked for approval to do my thesis on the topic of, can you believe the financial press? And my advisor says, you can't do a report on that. I said, why not? Because no one, everyone knows you can't believe the financial press. It was sort of like, why would you write anything?
It's like master of the obvious.
Yeah. So the next article, which I think is sort of horrifying, is that, and this is something that's not new, and we've talked about it before, and the headline is Bond Insurers Get Pick of Ratings. Competition among ratings firms is a fast-growing corner of the bond market. Now, in order to issue a bond, you need to have a rating, and there are five or six agencies today. There used to be only three, and after the financial crisis, there were a couple of newcomers. But the system for having the rating firm chosen is up to the company or the security originator, like a municipal area, to choose. And the reason for that is the issuer pays the rating agency. So what's happening today, which has been happening for years, is that issuers shop rating agencies, find out which one will give the best rating, and hire them. On the other hand, the rating agency, in order to get business, knows that and presumably is going to sharpen their pencil to get the best possible rating. Because otherwise they're not going to get any business, which is, to me, an incredible conflict.
It's incredibly
We should talk to the Better Business Bureau about this.
We should talk to the Better Business Bureau about this.
I mean,
how appropriate.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really outrageous when you get to choose your own rater.
Right. No, and it often, you know, many point to the three credit rating agencies as being one of the major reasons why the financial crisis of 2008 happened. Is it was an incestual circle of who was being hired for ratings and who was rating, and that they really weren't looking under the hood when they did their ratings.
And the headline here is it says that the result is that securities deemed safe by the rating firms have increasingly smaller cushions against losses, because what's happening is the rating agency, in order to come up with the most competitive, and this is sort of ironic, competitive rate, is going to try every shortcut they can to give that issuer the benefit of the doubt. The next article is a little bit esoteric, but I think it's important, and that is you either go long a stock, which means you buy it, or you can go short a stock, which means you sell the stock even though you don't own it, with the hopes that you can buy it back at a cheaper price. And bears will go short stock in order to benefit from what they believe to be an overpriced stock. Well, the way that you short a stock is you have to borrow it from a financial intermediary. You just can't just say, I'm selling a stock that comes from the clouds. That's called the naked short. It's illegal because otherwise you could get a run on a stock where everyone is making believe they're selling and driving the price down. So in order to be able to short stocks, you have to borrow them. Well, this article talks about institutions now, because they've cut, like Fidelity and Invesco, and since State Street, since they've cut their rates, because there's been such competition to cut rates for people buying stocks, that they need more revenue. So there is a fee that the short seller gets for lending the stock, that the investment firm gets a fee from the short seller for the right to borrow the stock to sell it short. So institutions now, like Fidelity, are participating in this. Well, the problem is when you facilitate a short of a stock, you're going to, at least in the short term, drive the price down. Fidelity owns the stock to lend only because they're hoping the stock is going to go up. So in a sense, they're facilitating pressure on a stock that they own, which to me is a conflict. Oh boy, I got
yes,
a look at it. You,
no,
the
that
look,
is
I hope
a,
people
that
are listening
conflict.
Or don't have the same look you just gave me.
No, it is a conflict. And I think that, you know, part of what goes on in the financial businesses is as there's this race to the bottom for the fees to the consumer to go down, the zero trading and what have you, you basically are looking at these institutions need to, they're not charities, and they need to still figure out ways to be competitive and make money. And with interest rates being as low as they have been for so long, many of these companies are really finding it difficult where they used to be able to take a piece of that interest rate that they'd be paying you, but with rates so low, they can't be competitive if they continue to do that. They're looking for these other ways, and that seems like that's fraught for problems and regulatory issues.
But if I owned General Motors stock, I wouldn't help you sell it short. It just doesn't make any sense. And the way this worked in the last 50, 60 years is when you had more individual ownership of stock, the brokerage firms would do this and you never knew.
Right.
Because unless you said you didn't want your stock to be hypothecated, which is the term, you were essentially permitting had to opt out.
Right. I was just going to say it was an opt out, not an opt in.
And now you have major owners that are saying, okay, we don't care. We want to make a few extra points and let the short sellers sell, which I think is a conflict. And the last article we have today, I just thought was sort of interesting, and it comes from Jason Swiger, the Wall Street Journal, our favorite columnist.
I'm surprised you found that interesting.
Well, this is an interesting, you know, he comes up with these stories that, you know, either because nobody cares or because no one knows about them are really unique. He found a fund called Voyer Corporate Lenders Trust, which was launched November 18th, 1935. And the difference between this fund and all other funds is that it was designed to own 30 stocks, and they could never sell or buy new holdings in anything other than these 30 stocks unless one of the companies went bankrupt. Hmm. So he says, sounds crazy. Well, between 1935 and 2019, the annual return was 11.1%. So this is sort of interesting that, you know, people talk about passive investing and whether or not it's a good or whether it's not bad and whether index funds make sense. This is an institution that basically has been doing this for almost a century now.
It's like the definition of buy right, hold tight.
And you'd be surprised, would not be surprised that the fee is very low because no one does anything. I mean, I wonder what they do when they go to work in the morning. You know, they sit down and say, has anyone gone bankrupt? No. When do we tee off? You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we're going to repeat the first segment now because Rob Duva, Diane's husband, said we weren't coming through loud enough.
No, so, he said just you.
Well, maybe. So I'm going to. So the first article we have today.
Anyways, if you're just joining us, we have Rick Copeland in studio with us, who's the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of the Tri-Counties. And if you have any questions for Rick or Neil, if you can hear him, is please call us at 805-564-1290 or email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So, Rick, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. So you originally come from San Diego, you had mentioned.
Well, yeah, I'm actually originally from Atascadero.
So you went up and down the coast.
That's right, with a short side trip to Oklahoma in there, too. But no, I started at the Better Business Bureau in San Diego in 1986. So, yeah, this is my 33rd year here this year.
Wow. So 33 years at one company. So then you moved, at some point, you moved up to Santa Barbara?
Right. Back in 1996, we took over, actually my wife and I took over for another husband and wife team, John and Marge Green. Maybe some of my listeners remember them. They were here for like 25 years.
Yeah, I find most people, when they come to Santa Barbara, they try not to go. Yeah. They try not to leave.
Kind of stay put. Yeah.
Exactly. So tell us about the Better Business Bureau. What is it? What does it do?
Well, in a kind of a thumbnail, I guess, we started out and still process complaints. You know, we promote ethical business practices through the self-regulation of business. And what I mean by that is, you know, back in the wild, wild, woolly days of really no regulation of advertising, the government pretty much said, hey, business community, you better get your act together or we'll do it for you, you know. And so the BBB was formed. And then when someone files a complaint against a business, and instead of having to go to a government agency or small claims court or whatever, they just contact us. And we get the consumer's complaint, take a look at it, make sure it meets our acceptance guidelines, and we send it then to the business. And this is important. We process complaints against any business, not just members of the Better Business Bureau. But we send it to the business for their side of the story. And a good, 70-75% of the time, the business responds back. And, you know, as you might imagine, just opening up the lines of communications in itself helps resolve a lot of disputes. But if the two parties can't agree, then we send it to the business again and tell them, you know, your customer wasn't happy with your response. Do you have anything more to add? Sometimes they do, and they send it back. And generally, again, our complaint resolution rate's right around 80%. So, you know, the price is right. It doesn't cost a consumer or a business anything to have us help settle their dispute.
And, so do you act as a neutral third party or as an advocate for the consumer or an advocate for the business? How does that work?
Great question. No, we're really a neutral third party. We're pretty much in this stage shuffling paperwork, these days electronic messages back and forth. Now, for our member companies, or as we call them, accredited businesses, we can take an extra step. You know, if the company and the consumer can't help them resolve their dispute, we can even offer mediation and even arbitration if we have to go that far.
And how does a business become an accredited institution, if you will?
Yeah, an accredited business or member. Yeah, you have to be in business for at least 6 months before a company can even apply. You know, we want them to establish a little bit of a track record. And then they apply, and this is one of the, you know, the internet's got a lot of facets to it, but this is one that really helps us because we carefully vet those companies. You know, we're able to go into the background of the owners, and we certainly look for things like licensing. You know, is a company properly licensed or not? Do they have a record with us that may be unfavorable? With that being said, if a company looks like they're eligible in every other way, but they have one unanswered complaint, sometimes we'll help them clear that complaint up and then they can become accredited. You know, they're just because, well, first.
So just because somebody complains basically doesn't mean you can't.
No.
So when you become a member, and this goes back to some of the articles we were talking about with a conflict, and I have a really good rating with you, and I have two complaints against me a month later, how do you deal with a conflict of, at this point, if you go ahead and ding your member because you sort of believe the consumer, you're in a sense conflicted. You may lose that member.
Well, right. And, well, a couple of things, again, remember, we handle these complaints whether a company is a member or not. And the very fact of a company getting a complaint doesn't cause them to get dinged. You know, we look at the number of complaints versus the volume of business. So, like we mentioned, Kylie Cosmetics earlier today, mm-hmm. they're one of our members. They have 100, well, they may even have 1,000 complaints on file. It goes back 3 years. But as long as they respond promptly to their complaints and as long as they, you know, make a good faith effort to resolve their complaints, they can remain at a very high rating.
What are the ratings? What are the, can you remind us what the ratings are?
Well, they go from A+ down to F on the bottom.
So if somebody has an F, and the ratings are only for members, correct?
No, any business, member or non-member.
Ah,
so any business could go to the BBB.org, is that the
right.
the website, and check to see what their rating is?
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, you just go to the internet, and because we've been around so long and we have a lot of domain authority, as they say, oftentimes a company can just enter their company name, and if there's a BBB report, it'll show up.
And is there only a report for either a member business or a business that has a complaint?
No. I mean, we have a lot of reports on non-member businesses who have no complaints. It's just, you know, people... It's, again, amazing with the internet. Like I said, last year in 2019, we published over 1 million of these reliability reports, we call them, on tri-county area businesses. So it's amazing. I go to business owners all the time and say, you've had this many people look at your report, and they're like, well, how can that be? I don't even, you know, all my business is word of mouth or whatever. But I know banks contact us sometimes to check out a company owner's background through that avenue and potential employees, you know. So we get inquiries on just about everybody.
So one of your sales pitches to potential members is to tell them that whether you become a member or not, you're going to be scrutinized by people that you may find important. You might as well become a member and watch it carefully.
Well, that's true because, you know, if a member company, someone files a complaint and say their complaint handler's on vacation or maternity leave or something, we're going to call that company if we have to get a response. Whereas, you know, we can't do that. I mean, there's 45,000 companies in the Tri-County area and, you know, we don't have the resources for that. So, yeah, there's some little insurance, I guess,
So the only ones you call would be the ones who are, in that case, example would be if it's a member. A member you'll always call?
Yeah. Either because, again, if they don't respond to their complaints and make a good faith effort to resolve, we unfortunately have to revoke memberships, and we do probably one or two a month.
But you can also forget the revokes, the highest
disciplinary
action. But you
right.
can reduce them from AAA down. And do you have a pretty consistent rules as to what it takes to get knocked down?
We do. They're used across the country. There's about 100 Better Business Bureaus in the U.S., Canada, and one in Mexico City, and we all use the same algorithm that really takes into 13 different factors in its calculation of the rating. But the biggest one is the number of complaints versus volume of business.
Oh, interesting. And so what are the differences between the different Better Business Bureau offices, if any?
Well, there are big ones. I mean, this bureau, I mean, as a metric, using size as a metric, for mm-hmm. instance, the Better Business Bureau of the Tri-Counties, we're kind of a large, mid-sized BBB. So there are ones with, you know, one that covers almost, most of the state of Texas. So they vary in size.
But the core mission of all of the offices are the same.
It's the same,
and you
right.
use, is it very, so the algorithm to measure the ratings is the same. Are there any differences in terms of whether, you know, you file a complaint in Texas or here, can you expect a different outcome or?
Well, of course, our bureau on the Central Coast is the best one. You
of
know,
course,
you
of
know
course.
That. But no, we all follow pretty much the same standards. But I do believe a smaller bureau like mine, we're a little more personal. You know, I mean, we've got about 12 employees total, and 3 or 4 that all they do is work on complaints. So you know, we've got a little more personal service.
You know, it's interesting about membership drives. When I had my own business in New York, what convinced me to join the Better Business Bureau was they put out a big full-page ad in the New York Times saying, we'd just like to welcome, you know, for the new year, here's a list of our members. And that was just good PR to be mentioned among all these companies. And they never told us about all the other stuff. But that was enough to make it worthwhile.
Right, right. And really, these days, one of the biggest benefits is if you become a member or accredited is you can use our logo, our interactive logo on your website. And that's really critical for a lot of businesses. You know, a consumer can pass their cursor over and go, click on it, and you can see complaints, customer reviews. You can see how people, you can see, read verbatim what people wrote in their complaint and how the company responded verbatim.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
You know what they should, you know what you should do if you want to try a new business venture would be to have Better Business Bureau for dating. And so this way, even for marriages, you know, somebody gets divorced, you know, how do you rate you get the other side, the divorcing person, so you don't make
sometimes
a mistake.
You have good advice, Neil, and others.
Well, I'm just thinking about
that's true.
About expanding the
you know, the niche.
We've been asked many times by business people, why isn't there a better consumer bureau or customer? Because it's true. Some people complain about everyone they do business with. You know, and we'd love to be able to alert companies.
Right,
you know,
for sure.
But privacy concerns prevent that.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show.
Broadcasting from the Evolve Advisor Studios in Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, or somewhere from the road.
This is a show that takes a peek behind the hospitality curtain with you. We explore the food, the drink, trends in the music, and the people and the vibe that make up this exciting world. I am your host, Jeremiah.
The Jeremiah Show airs Thursday at 11 a.m. and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon, and Sunday mornings at 12 a.m. on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And so, Rick, you know, how many members do you have in the Better Business Bureau of the Tri-Counties?
Right now we have about, about 2,700.
About 2,700. Yeah. And so what... Once you become approved, there's the application process to become a member. What are the costs associated with it?
Well, the minimum for a 1-3 person business is $495 per year, but it goes up much higher than that, you know, depending on the size of the business.
So it's based upon the size of how many employees?
Right.
Or revenue?
Well, employees, really.
Employees.
Yeah.
And you do it that way because there's going to be more complaints, obviously, to take care of if it's got 2,000 employees.
Precisely, yeah.
And so are there, we had talked earlier about some common myths that people have about the Better Business Bureau. Could you share some of those with us about, you know, that it's not a government agency and really kind of your role in the whole process of complaints?
No, I'd love to because, we've touched on a couple of them already. Again, we're not a law enforcement or government agency. We're a 501c6 nonprofit. We do act as a middleman between businesses and consumers, so we're not a business or consumer advocate at all. We do report on member companies and non-member companies, but keep in mind, right now we have about 24,000 reports on Tri-County area businesses in our database, and most of the ones with the A-plus rating, the highest rating, are not members of the Better Business Bureau. They're just companies have been around for, you have to be in business at least 3 years to even get an A-plus. And then if you're properly licensed and have no or minimal complaints, you're going to have an A-plus rating, pretty much.
Now, what types of businesses are most likely to become members? More of that retail side of things, or is it more straightforward business technology?
No, it's actually more of the trades. I mean, of the, the top five types of business that we get inquiries on and complaints are in the trades, you know, plumbers, roofers, pavers, you know, this kind of a business. So they really kind of dominate it. But we do also get a lot of calls on, well, any company that would come into your home or work in your home, any company that would sell something of a fairly large ticket, you know, like furniture, cars, things like this.
So you've been around a long time. Have you seen a change in the interest among consumers since we've been able to have, I guess there's like two or three major websites available to check out contractors? You know, I forgot the names of them, but, you know, there's a whole bunch of them where if you want to find out about a particular service provider, you just ask them and they'll tell you.
Right. Yeah, no, there's been a big change. I mean, we used to be pretty much the only game in town, but now you have Yelp and Angie's List, Google, you know. It's funny, we just had a Nielsen survey done 2 years ago, and they asked consumers, when it comes to wondering about, I'm paraphrasing, questioning the reliability of a company, what organization comes to mind first? And it's Better Business Bureau. And yeah, we've been around a long time, but we also have the complaint processing aspect of it that the others don't. You know, they're pretty much reviews and, you know, which are valuable. You know, and we publish customer reviews ourselves. In fact, these days we're processing and publishing as many customer reviews as we do complaints, and I'm sure that number is going to surpass complaints here probably this year.
Right, because if you think about it, how are you choosing restaurants in a place that you've never been before? You're going to Yelp and saying, oh, that one, everyone seemed to really like their, whatever it is, their sushi,
right,
you know.
Right, but I think, and again, this is just the feeling I get talking to business people and consumers, which I do all day, every day, is that things have kind of made a big circle. You know, I mean, I think the luster's a little bit off those review sites. Again, not downplaying them, but people are starting to realize that those systems can be gamed, you know.
Well, that's the thing. There are lots of people that get paid to do a review. And
exactly.
It skews the results.
It does. And you know, I always recommend, I mean, myself, when I look at reviews, I like to look at the bad ones, mm-hmm. right? You know what the good ones are going to say, especially if they're consistent. But I like to look at the bad ones myself.
Also, sometimes you get frightened by litigious either business owners or consumers. You give a bad review and they turn around and sue you. So it's not that free a market for advice.
Yeah, although my understanding is those successful lawsuits are pretty few and far between. And again, from my viewpoint, we welcome it because the BBB is protected by the Communications Decency Act. So we're happy to publish those because we're immune from prosecution.
Oh, so the Better Business Bureau can't be sued for complaints that they publish?
No. Well, you can be sued for anything,
right.
But I mean,
but
successfully,
protected.
No.
Yeah.
And we're protected, right?
And so now when you process those complaints, you said that you then send it to the company and the company has a certain period of time. Is it very standardized, like the company has 60 days to respond or something along the kind of like a lawsuit would help?
Right. Well, the overall standard is to close a complaint within 30 days. But again, this is one aspect of having a medium-sized bureau. We have 7-day windows, so we'll send it to a company, give them 7 days to respond. If we don't hear back, then we send it again, give them 7 more days, and then we go from there.
So things get resolved then fairly quickly.
Pretty quick, yeah.
And what happens if it doesn't get resolved in that? What's that next process? Do you turn it over to somebody?
A couple things. One is, again, how a complaint is resolved can have an effect on a company's rating. Like, you can't just say, hey, go soak your head or whatever, right. You know, that's not going to help your rating. And it's important to remember that you have to file a complaint no matter what, for a couple reasons. One is to warn your fellow consumers of, or at least inform them rather, of your experience with this company. The other thing is, no matter how it comes out, you want to file a complaint because we work federal Trade Commission, local district attorney's offices, postal inspector all the time, and they use our complaints. I mean, I've got, I think, 3 active cases going now. They request copies of our complaints to create a case, you know, to prosecute a company.
Interesting.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Hospice of Santa Barbara is there to help when we're adjusting to living with a life-threatening illness, facing death, anticipating the death of a loved one, or healing our grief after a death. Hospice of Santa Barbara can provide the emotional, social, and spiritual care needed in a supportive, compassionate environment. Hospice of Santa Barbara provides professional counseling for individuals and has many support groups and programs for adults, teens, and children. Services are free, made possible by our community's generosity and by all of the highly trained, wonderful volunteers that give of their time to help those in need. If you would like to make a donation, become a volunteer, or support the important work of Hospice of Santa Barbara, or find out more about hospice services for you or someone you love, please call 563-8820, 563-8820, or visit our website at www.hospiceofsantabarbara.org.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink of my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior, and I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
And if you're just joining us, we have Rick Copeland, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of the Tri-Counties, in the studio with us. So, Rick, we talked a little bit about, you know, membership and the complaint system and how that works. Do you also engage in public service activities warning the public against scams?
You know, we do. Thanks for asking. We're starting to do more events, you know, hosting more events. We typically haven't done them. But what we do a fair amount of is we issue press releases about both local scams that we've uncovered, as well as we're having national studies done now, like a puppy scam, a romance scam was a big one. Mm-hmm. Locally. So yeah, press releases is really the best way we get our message out there.
The puppy scam and the romance scam, they're separate, right? Yeah.
Not always. I have a puppy that stole my heart, that's for darn sure.
Now, would it also be would the Better Business Bureau be the place to call for those annoying scams that try to, you know, the IRS is coming to get you?
Oh, absolutely.
And unless you send a check or wire today.
They're going to come to your place of work and all that. Yeah, definitely. In fact, we have a website called Scam Tracker. You can just search for it and anywhere and find it. And it's a place where you can even look and see what kind of scams are going on in your area. But in cases like this, especially if it's someone perpetrating a scam from overseas, you know, there's not much we can do about that. But we can include your message about that in the Scam Tracker and other people can see it.
And what about the Chamber of Commerce? That, you know, when I think of the Better Business Bureau, sometimes I'll make a mistake and use the word Chamber of Commerce. It's sort of, you know, two industry organizations. Do you do any work with them?
You know, we do. I've been doing more and more. Again, the chamber here in Santa Barbara is right upstairs from
us. You share an office building?
Yeah, we do. But, you know, we're currently members of, I believe, every single chamber in the Tri-Counties with the exception of one, and I'm working on that one. It's kind of new. And they're almost all members with us, too. So, you know, when people contact us about things like demographic information, stuff like that, we refer them off to the chamber, you know, best restaurants to go to, whatever. And the chamber, they refer a lot of people to us, especially ones who come to them with complaints, because they're not really equipped to handle that. So they send it to us.
And so in terms of the Scam Tracker, you also do you host seminar type events for people?
You know, again, that's what we're starting to do a lot of. You know, we did one last year on the internet, but we're going to be doing a lot more of that. Again, we can reach one of our problems here in Tri-Counties has always been our headquarters is here, although we did in May last year open an office in Camarillo.
Oh, great.
But our headquarters is here, and it's kind of hard, you know.
Right, geographically, it's
exactly.
A large place. So
we want to do more like webinars, things like that.
Oh, that's okay. Now, who's your target audience for those, the member businesses?
Well, not really. We kind of do it by, you know, I mean, I believe that companies, more than anything, they like to support an organization that's selective, that like not everyone can join, but also one that does some good, you know. And mm-hmm. when we educate consumers out there through a webinar, what have you, in the end, it's always going to help the legitimate business. And mm-hmm. so really our target customer is always going to be the consumers. And businesses, I think, appreciate that. You know, an educated consumer is a lot easier to do business with someone who is not, you know. And, right. and I mean educated in terms of, you know, what to do if you have a dispute or knowing return policies in advance, things like that.
Right, for sure. And so now, do you find, given that, you know, the Tri-County area is really three, or one could argue four, really different not only geographically, but demographically and business-oriented places, do you find that there are a lot of differences between your organizations in each of the counties? Or do pretty much that they all deal with the same challenges and successes?
Yeah, I think it's all pretty similar. I mean, you know, we just do a lot more volume in Ventura County and in Santa Barbara County. And I know we study people who use us and who come to the BBB a lot, and like through Adobe Analytics, for instance, we get more visitors, strangely, from, well, I guess it's not strange, but from Santa Barbara County than we do from Ventura County, even though the population is much larger. And I've always found that
kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but it's always the case, always has been.
Hmm. And now, what for it's San Luis Obispo County as well,
right.
And that is a much more rural county in general, so there
right.
probably aren't. How many businesses would you say are up in SLO County as opposed to?
Well, let's see, probably
Southern.
Yeah, 10, 15, somewhere in there, something like that. I know it's almost half of the Tri-County businesses are in Ventura County. And then Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo split the remainder, with most being here.
Oh.
Are there any industries that you don't support? So, for example, education. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, scandals with for-profit education. Are schools ever rated?
They are. Not so much public schools and universities. You know, we really don't rate those. But private ones, we certainly do, like National University. I know mm-hmm. some companies join every BBB where they have locations. So I think we have one or two national university locations in our area.
So what about the integration between your group and the national group? So there's a franchise coming to this community that has never been here before, but it has a real long record in 10 other communities. Do you use that? Is there something you can use to see where they are without having any history here?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a nationwide database that I can and my staff can tap into and see, you know, behind the curtain, right. as it were. So, yeah, and we definitely do that all the time.
Now, is there a national Better Business Bureau?
Yeah, there really isn't. You know, there's a...
Or a parent company.
You know, there's a kind of a long story behind that I won't bore you with. But we do have kind of an umbrella company. We're really essentially like a franchise here. We pay dues to the company, the parent company, for the right to use the name and logo. And we have standards we have to meet to continue to be able to use the logo, too. I get, you know, audited every year. All the BBBs do.
And do you, because you're a not-for-profit, do you ever get donations?
We get some, yeah. Yeah.
What would be the motivation to give a donation above the fee? Would it be from an individual?
Consumers will donate us money. We've had that a lot of times. And our members will sometimes, too. You know, throw in some extra with their dues.
Now, is there a lobbying or advocacy arm at all as part of the BBB?
No, we're completely non-political. So right now we don't do that's a chamber thing, I think. Oh.
Well, we better go to break because I was going to ask you who you're going to vote for president, and I guess that's not going to work. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. We'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity. Every
time. Hello, I'm Elizabeth Stewart, a certified appraiser of fine art and antiques. Pennies from heaven. Join me Fridays at 10 a.m. for the Art and Antiques Radio Show, where we'll talk with the movers and shakers of the art and antiques world. Join us Friday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. for the Art and Antiques Radio Show, right here at AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And so we're speaking with Rick, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of the Tri-Counties. And so, Rick, tell us a little bit about your organizational structure. So do you have an active board of directors? How does the Bureau work?
Yeah, we do have a board of directors. Right now there's 16 people on it, and they're just, you know, local business people trying to get representation from all three counties, if I can, and I do. But they just act as a board. You know, we meet pretty much monthly or every other month. They technically hire me.
I was like, are they your boss?
They are. No, and they're good. They're good people. They're very engaged.
And that's really what you want from a board, is to be engaged and help you get the word out and really get both consumers and businesses to understand what the Bureau can do for them and what they do for them and how that they can more effectively use it and as a marketing tool for their business growth and success.
Absolutely. In fact, my chairman and I just traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet some organizations that he does business with and for the purpose of furthering the whole Better Business Bureau system, not just our little office here. I mean, it's a very exciting time, believe it or not. In my 33 years here, I'm more excited about coming to work every day than I ever have been. And I say that 100% honestly.
Well, that's exciting, you know.
It is.
So what's next for the Bureau? Any new programs or, you know, things that you're beside the webinar for the scams, which I think is completely needed?
It is. And we're going to do we want especially our office down in Ventura County. It's in the Ventura County Community Foundation's Nonprofit Center. And we're also neighbors with the chamber down there. And we want to do an event here very soon, and I'm going to invite the chamber to, well, especially help Latino and Hispanics, because we're finding more and more are targeted by scam artists, and we want to have an event to inform people on how to avoid becoming involved in a scam and how to use the BBB if you've had an unsatisfactory relationship with a local business.
Do you do financial companies as well, brokerage firms, for example?
Oh, yeah. Back in the mortgage refi wild days, mm-hmm. we had a lot of mortgage companies as members.
So that's much more esoteric than it, you know, if somebody has a car where the carburetor doesn't work, it is either working or it's not working. If somebody is claiming that they didn't get the best rate on a mortgage, or they didn't get the right mortgage, or they bought a variable annuity that was not appropriate for them, that's much more sophisticated. How do you deal with those types of complaints?
No, that's a great question. You know, we help consumers as much as we can within our abilities. For instance, if someone calls us with a very esoteric problem with a company and we're not familiar with it, we'll refer them to a party who will. So we have, you know, we refer people to FCC, SEC all the time, you know, things like that. So.
Now, do you find that you're usually the first call in those situations, you know, because they don't know who else to turn to?
We do find that all the time, yeah, and that's, you know, absolutely. And we try and keep our list of referral agencies as up to date as we can.
Absolutely, because as people retire, you know, you got to get people to the right people.
Absolutely.
It's very helpful. So that in and of itself is a huge benefit to the community, knowing that they can call you and get hooked into the right avenue, if you will, of who can actually help them.
Absolutely. And again, if I may, I mean, to get back to the issue of us doing press releases in this, again, we heard of a company targeting local Hispanics and Latinos, and it was a pretty big scam, and they're pretty much flying under the radar because, unfortunately, a lot of those members of the community don't know about the BBB or whatever. We learned of it, notified the appropriate parties, in this case being the U.S. Attorney's Office and Federal Trade Commission. And 2 weeks ago, the owner was charged with criminal charges. So we're very happy about that.
Yeah, I think I saw that press release.
Yeah, we're working on getting that out again here soon.
And I guess he was not a member. And
he
didn't get dinged by you. He got dinged by the U.S. Attorney.
No, and that was a financial services type of business, too. Kind of a loan broker, I guess you would say.
Wow. You know, and that's the type of things that even though you aren't a government agency, that definitely puts you on the side of, you know, public interest.
Exactly. That's why it's always worth filing a complaint, whether you think it's going to do any good or not. Because, again, remember, the law enforcement may come to us in the future, and you want your name in that database.
So, Rick, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for explaining to us what you do. And it's always good to be on your side because I understand you're also doing radio hosts. And I want to make sure that Diane and I stay as triple
stay A-plus radio.
Yeah, right. So,
there you go.
Yes. Anyway, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you next week.
It's